one of the people that I was talking about that has been endorsing an African American female selection is a great person that we actually have on for about 10 minutes. We've been talking about her. We were going to have her last week, but we've got her on tonight. Tiffany Cross, author, political pundit on CNN, MSNBC. Her latest book, Say It Louder, is an excellent book, and we're so glad to have her tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight, Tiffany.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No problem. We're really excited to have you as well. We were just talking about, I know you have limited time, so we're going to try and break this up just a little bit. We want to give you an opportunity to talk about your book, but we were just talking about Joe Biden and how Yahoo YouGov poll came out today that says that 60% of Democratic voters are in support of Joe Biden picking an African-American vice presidential running mate. And I saw when you were on The View about 2-3 weeks ago, and you and Whoopi Goldberg were going back and forth about whether or not that's a good idea. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on that. Why should Joe Biden pick an African-American female as his vice presidential running mate?
Yeah, my opinion hasn't changed much since The View or since I penned the op-ed with my colleagues Angela Rye and Brittany Packnett and Amanda Seals and Latasha Brown and on and on and on. I think that Joe Biden is, the idea of him is very appealing to some people because they envision 2008 Joe Biden, but the reality of a 2020 Joe Biden, I think, may be challenged. And as we have this racial reckoning and are amidst a cultural shift in the country, and he has to be flanked by someone who can go into these communities with familiarity. And promise them all the things, you know, and try to deliver all the things. I think, you know, his response to continue, you know, to increase funding for law enforcement and some of the policy proposals that he's put forth, and given his legislative history, you know, I think it may be challenging for some people to reconcile with that. And I just want to be really clear. We have Donald Trump in the White House, so any rational adult will do. You know, I hope that everybody goes out and casts a ballot for Joe Biden this November. But when black people sit at the epicenter of political power, I'm all about creating power for African Americans, particularly African American voters. And so as we sit in this moment where we've resurrected a campaign, why not ask for something in return? And I know he's promised an African American woman on the court, on the Supreme Court, but we've had so many administrations with an all-white ticket. We've had an all-white Supreme Court justice. We've had an all-white administration, an all-white cabinet official. So I just don't think it's too much to ask, and I understand why some African Americans are scared, because, you know, we typically vote out of pragmatism or sometimes fear. And I think, you know, as long as because we've been so historically brutalized, that's understandable. But I think we have to start embracing our power as the rising majority of this country and not being afraid to make ass the same way the gun lobby does, the same way evangelicals do, the same way single issue voters do. We have to embrace our political power and do the same.
Thank you for that articulation. This is Atiba. And the one thing that, as I hear you say that, that came to mind that I wanted to ask you about was, you talk about the current political movement or the current movement for justice in this country as it pertains to black lives. And so how does that impact your steadfastness on wanting to see that black female candidate? In other words, was this something that you had derived after South Carolina and you were already in on it? Or was it, what did the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and so on and so on over the past 120 days, how do those deaths impact our positioning on that now?
Well, let me just say I was there long before these deaths. You know, I've been in this space for a minute, so I've been this angry since Terrence Crutcher, since Laquan McDonald, since Trayvon Martin. I've been this angry since, you know, Rodney King. I think some people have been this angry since Emmett Till, and on and on and on it goes. So I think this is a generational trauma we carry with us and bring that to whatever our desired field is. For me, it happens to be media and politics. So I've always felt like Black people ought to take up more of a direct interest and self-interest when it comes to our participation at the ballot box. But I'll say for recent times, look, I think, you know, that these deaths, for whatever reason, sparked a revolution, but even an evolution, you know? I mean, I think a revolution is something that some people may want to call this, but you can agree or disagree with the revolution, right? You know, like there are some people who are not in favor of this revolution we're seeing. I would say this is an evolution, because an evolution don't give a damn if you agree or not. An evolution is happening, you know, right. And you either adapt or you die, you know? And so I think in this moment of evolution, that people are reimagining America, and they're reimagining a government that serves them and does not kill them. They're reimagining a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people, except this time for the people actually includes them. And so given that, I think people are a lot more direct in what they ask from this administration. They're a lot more innovative and imaginative in what this next phase of democracy looks like. We're clearly on the precipice of something. So whatever after the core pillars erode, as we rebuild, I think Black people, I hope that Black people will take up more of an active role in making these demands. And you know, a lot of people talk to NASCAR dads and, you know, non-college educated white men. And it's like, it's a whole lot of dudes on the block. Ain't nobody talking to them. Ain't nobody fighting for their vote, you know? And right. I'm like, I want those people imagining, what does society look like for you? If you got to sit around and decide what government looks like to you, then talk to me, you know, get a sense of agency in yourself. And what does that look like? So I think as we're in that moment, that will have an impact on some of the voter participation. We'll see. And I hope it's all a positive impact. But I certainly understand people for doubting the system. I don't encourage it. But I hope we will see in record numbers people participating in this election cycle.
You're listening to Tiffany D. Cross, author of Say It Louder. I have to say, I did get the opportunity to read the book. And as impressed as I was by the book, the second thing that I was impressed by the most that was Michael Eric Dyson writing the foreword. I mean, that just sets the whole tone for reading the book. And I want to give you an opportunity, because there was really something that stuck out to me in the beginning of the book, and you were writing about how you were you go into a lot of detail about your origin story and how you got into the business, and you were talking about some hard times that you were going through, and you said how. You wrote how in one part of the book, you wrote in lipstick on your window, some people succeed because they are destined. I will succeed because I am determined. I thought that was so powerful. You could write a self-help book for African-American, you know, young people and women specifically just on that one example. But for the young African-Americans or just the young people who are listening to the show, who are in that transition in their lives and they're trying to find their footing, you know, speak on that. That's what you were going through in that moment. I just thought it was so powerful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I would just say, I used to have this attitude that if I mimicked my life after somebody else, if I found someone who was successful and I did all the things they did, then logic would say I should succeed. But we all have a different journey in life. And as you read, my journey didn't look like somebody else's journey. And, you know, I'm not new to this, you know, sure. I'm true to this. I've been around a long time. And, you know, this is my journey after 40 plus years on the earth. And it was a lot of trials and tribulations, but I used to always quote that Henry Van Dyke quote, because I had to realize that nobody was interested in my sad story. You know, like this is just, you know, and there were people with a sadder story than mine to tell. And, you know, there was no use in being bitter about people who didn't have a sad story to tell, being successful. I had to figure life out for myself and do it with grace and dignity and compassion, which I don't know that I would have had I not had some of the struggles I endured. And so, you know, I would just tell young people that you can step into a new you as often as you like. Don't be afraid to leave behind yesterday, whatever happened yesterday. You can be imagine the life you want to live, and then have your steps sanctioned accordingly.
That is.
And you can start that tomorrow, you know?
Right.
You can wake up tomorrow and decide to live a new life.
That is so powerful. I again, and to everyone who's listening, we're talking to Tiffany D. Cross, author of Say It Louder. Go out, buy the book. It's a brilliant read. It's a great read. I cannot let you leave. I know the time is short, but I've got to squeeze this in. Last Saturday, you filled in for AM Joy, and you had a conversation with Bruce Lavelle. He's one black conservative and Trump supporter. And I made sure that I recorded it because I wanted the ratings to get logged that I did, that I DVR'd it.
Well, thank you.
But at the end of the interview, I saw how you just were exacerbated and you kind of gave that exhale of just speak to, because we have a lot of listeners on VON who are disappointed in the Democratic Party and who have become Trump supporters. I mean, what that conversation that you had with Bruce, it was like just trying to get him to answer a question was like stapling Jell-O to the ceiling. Like, talk about what's going on with these black Trump supporters, especially when you've got Trump coming out saying that he's trying to float this trial balloon of switching the date of the election. I mean, what's going on that people are still supporting Trump? What does he have to do?
Yeah, I don't think that sane people understand crazy. You know, it's not our job. An intellectual would, it'd be a waste of time to try to understand the unintellectual, you know? So I've never really tried to understand Trump supporters. I've certainly never put any energy into understanding black Trump supporters. Somewhat of an oxymoron, but I think with Mr. Lavelle, I really wanted other people to bear witness to his attempts at having intellectual exchange, his attempt to have a factual discussion, and he fell short, as so many people often do when they come out and try to defend this president who is failing miserably at his first job in government. And no one has ever really been able to offer a logical retort or defense to any of the thousands of lies that he's told since he's been in office, to any of the dozens of laws that he's broken, or dozens of times he's broken the law, I should say. I think too often the chattering class of the D.C. Beltway presents politics in these very complicated ways that are not very digestible for everyone else. When, I think out of respect for the millions of voters in this country, and certainly the millions of people who look like me and the millions of other people of color, that they deserve a plain spoken conversation and just ask somebody, why should I even be listening to you?
Exactly.
Carry the water of somebody who don't like people who look like me.
Exactly.
Let's just start with the basics. And when you can't answer that question, then it's very clear that you don't love the people. And you got to love the people to lead the people. So
exactly.
From this point on, everything you say affirms your position in self-hatred and your love for the oppressor. That's behavior I don't understand. That's Stockholm Syndrome type behavior.
You're listening to Tiffany D. Cross, author of Say It Louder, buy the book. We know you've got to go, and we're coming on a hard break right now. So right before we let you go, can you give us a secret insight into, will Crosstalk be taking over AM Joy on the weekends on MSNBC?
Look, I wish I had some insight. Can y'all give me some secret insight? Look, if you like what you see, then tweet it, post it, share it, because they do watch the social media. So if you like when you see me in the chair, then say so. I'll be back in the chair leading folks into the DNC on the 15th and 16th. So I hope everyone will tune in, including you guys.
We will definitely
definitely. There's no way of missing that.
All right. Well, Tiffany Cross, thank you for joining us tonight. And we hope you'll remain a friend of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You're listening to the Buchanan and Seton Show on WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. We'll be right back.
More from Buchanan and Seton, plus your phone calls, coming up on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.